Well, we've been in a series we called An Honest Heart, and we're in part four. We're spending some time here. This is a very important, all the Word of God's important, but this, what we're teaching on here is just really important for, it's one of those things that's just, it's universally applicable to all parts of your walk with God. You know, some things are specific in a certain area. This is kind of a framework of what's going on all the time in how the Word is received, how it's acted on, the challenges, the things that'll try to distract and move us off, because the Word of God is what's going to change our life. And so it's an important truths here. We're going to read Mark 4, verse 1 in the NLT. It says, "Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore, and a very large crowd soon gathered around him. So he got into a boat. Then he sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling them many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across the field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plant, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, so they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." In verse 10, it says, "Later, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with the others who were gathered around, they asked him what the parables meant. He replied, 'You are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God, but I use parables for everyone I say to outsiders, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven.'" Verse 13, "Jesus said to them, 'If you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the parables?'" Verse 14, "The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among thorns represent others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted." And so we went over, we kind of flew over this, talked about some different aspects of this being that we do have an enemy. The devil will challenge you. He is the one that's pushing against in the world. Maybe not him himself all the time, but the world system. The thoughts that have been introduced into the world, it will push back and try to steal the word from you in these different ways. We talked about that. Last week we talked about that first step. If you go back to verse 14, it says, "The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath or the wayside represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away." So Satan comes immediately to try to steal the word, and if he can do that, well, it's done. It's not gonna have any crop, not gonna have any fruit. And so we talked in detail about that last week. We'll just run through, and then we're gonna come back to the second one. But the seed on rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. So that's the second area, and we're going to talk in detail about that tonight. Verse 18, "The seed that fell among thorns represents others who hear the word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced." So all the things that try to distract and pull away, And we're going to talk about that, not tonight, but in the future. These things choke the word. Just like the thorns choke out the word, choke out the seed, choke out the plants, all these things choke out the word. Then the last area, or last category, is the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as have been planted. Luke 8:15 says, "The ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." So that's the category we want to be in. We'll get there. We've talked about it kind of flying over, but that's the category we want to be in. These are four categories of heart conditions, and they're four categories that are going to, there's only one that produces fruit. That's the last one. The other ones don't. They just, something other than producing full fruit happens. And so we're talking in detail about, because this is what's going on all the time in different areas of our life. We may have received and bear fruit in one area, but we don't in another area. Well, this is the answer. This is the answer. Whatever it is, God's word is the answer. It'll tell us what to do. So, like I said, we're going to talk about the second category. I'm going to go back to the New King James, Mark 4:5, where Jesus is telling the parable. It says, some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. I didn't brush. Can you put verse 6 on there? I don't have verse 6. I didn't put it there. In the New King James, are you able to do that quick? But that's part of it too. So when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root, and because it had no root, it withered away. So this seed, it fell on the stony ground, and so it was, it didn't have any earth, so it's stony, there's not much earth there, so it springs up fast, but then as soon as there's any bad conditions, it wilts. And so Jesus explained this in Mark 4, in verse 16. He said, "These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble." In the Amplified Classic, those two verses says, "In the same way, the ones sown upon stony ground are those who, when they hear the word, at once receive and accept and welcome it with joy." So they got past that first stage, you know, where we read last week, where the seed fell down, immediately was taken away. It didn't even start to spring up. So then it was gone. Well, these, they received it, and they're happy about it. And so they received it with joy. Verse 17, they have no real root in themselves, and so they endure for a while, for a little while. So it starts to spring up. "Then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately are offended. They become displeased, indignant, resentful, and they stumble and they fall away." So they did receive it. They were happy about it, but then as soon as anything pushes back on it, they become offended. They resent it, they become indignant, and they fall away. So they don't go anywhere, really, but they look like they were. In the NLT, verses 16 and 17, it says, "The seed on rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word." So they were happy about it. They started going out. They look like, wow, I found this truth. I'm excited about it. They may even tell other people about it. "I'm excited. I found Jesus," or "I found this truth. Did you know the word of God teaches this?" Because like we said, this applies to every part of God's word coming to us. It applies for people hearing the truth of salvation. It applies in hearing the truth, of being baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. It applies in walking in love and knowing that that's how you relate to others. And it applies to financial things. Hey, I'm supposed to do it God's way. Oh, wow. It applies to healing. Oh, you mean God doesn't want me sick? He wants me well. See, anywhere we receive it, but then we start to walk, and then it doesn't just, wow, everything didn't turn around in my life just because I said I believed it, and now it's easy, people can, they fall away. Oh, wait, so you saw them, they were happy, but all of a sudden, they've let go. And so that doesn't produce any fruit then. So we read this before. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing. Oh, excuse me. We're not going to go there yet. Let's go back up to Colossians. Well, we can read that. Verse 17, Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes when you hear the word of God. It's there. But it's not automatic you do anything with it. You can hear the word, but that's not all there is. And this is what makes the difference. We're going to see that from Scripture. Look at Colossians 2, verse 6. It says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. So as you've received him, walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So as you've received it, now you got to walk in it. Look at that, the Amplified Classic. It says, as you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk. And it brings out, regulate your lives and conduct and conduct yourselves in union with and conformity to him. Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted. So the other ones were shallow roots, right? And they didn't bear any fruit. As soon as something pushed, they let go. Here it says, have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him, fixed and founded in him, being continually built up in him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. So this says to walk as you've received, walk. Or as you received, regulate your lives and conduct yourselves accordingly. Let's look at Luke 6, verse 46. It says, but why do you call me, so this is Jesus speaking, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me, hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So Jesus is drawing the picture, and we're going to read that in a different account. He's saying, if you hear the word and you do it, it's like a man who built his house on a firm foundation on a rock. And then, when challenges came against it, it didn't fall. What does that sound like? That stony ground where it was planted, it was received, but then as soon as something came against it, it fell. Why did it fall? I think we see. We're going to read more scripture. What we do with the word, if we hear it and don't do anything with it, you're not going to be established. That's how. Well, at least one of the ways from the Bible, that's how it's getting established. In other words, hearing it, see, when challenges come and we fall, we're not acting on it. Because it would produce results otherwise. If we don't walk in it, if we receive it but don't walk in it, then we fall. Then we receive, don't walk in it, we don't do it, the challenges are going to overtake us. Jesus said it. Let's look at this in Matthew 7, verse 24. So this is the different Matthew's account, same thing. It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. Now, I want you to look. Look at the way these verses are. I'm going to come back to it. But you look at the sentence structure, and I'll comment on it. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. So you hear the word. These sayings of his are the word. Jesus is the word made flesh. He is the word. So this is a spoken word. This is the words. This is God's truth. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. So you see the stuff coming. Didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. The same thing happened to both houses. Literally. The way it says it. Look at verse 24. Now, I'm going to have you skip around a little bit there on the video. Look at verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, skip to verse 26. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So the sentence structure is, you did it, you're the wise man. You don't, you're the foolish, okay? Now go back to verse 25. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now go to 27. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell. And great was its fall. What's the difference? The one person did the word, and it was like a strong house. And the exact same thing happened to each house. But the person did the word, so their house, their life stood. The other one did not do the word, their life fell. They're talking about the parable. Somebody heard the word, right? They heard it. They received it. But then they fell. This person heard the word. One of them did it. And they went to the next stage. This one heard. It's like a video game. They did the word. They heard the word. They did not do the word. They didn't make it. So do over. Now you go back to the beginning of the stage. Different scenario. Hear the word. Don't do the word. Fall through the, fall off the ledge, die in the video game. Reboot. Hear the word. You going to do anything different? Nope. Don't do it. Fall down. Go back. Hear the word. Do the word. Make it past it. That's the difference. It's not like it was God's will. Here's the thing. We're in the world. The stuff is going to happen to everybody. You and I are not exempt. It's not God's will. God is not bringing the stuff. We live in a fallen world. We're here, and the stuff happens, but God gave us the answer. He said, if you do this, that stuff that's coming against you, it won't knock you over. It won't topple your house. He gave us the answer. But the stuff is going to come. If we think, well, now I heard the word, so nothing's going to happen. That's exactly like the parable where the person is like, I have the answer. And then the stuff happens. They're like, well, I didn't see this coming. And they back off. What did they do? They didn't do what they heard. They backed off and they let it fall. That is the difference. Look at James 1, verse 21. It says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Hear it, you receive it. Notice it, this is the same. Look at the second part of verse 21. Receive with meekness or humility the implanted word which is able to save your souls. I don't got time to go off on that. I think I mentioned it a few weeks ago. James is writing to Christians. He's not talking about you being saved like your soul. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. He's not talking about your spirit. He's talking to born-again Christians. It's able to change, to help you change the way you see things. It's able to wash the renewing of your mind, it says in Ephesians. This applies to every area. But it says, receive with meekness or humility the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. So step one, receive it. But step one, in the parable of the sower, the second category, they did receive it. But then the next part, he said, but be doers of the word. So you can receive it, but you got to be doers of it, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Why would it say deceiving yourselves? We'll come back. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. And he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was or what he looks like. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, and continues in it, he is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. So if we go back to verse 22, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If you hear the word but don't do it, you're just hearers only. What? Somebody could think, well, I've heard the word, so it's going to work for me. And then it didn't. See, they think they've deceived themselves into thinking that's what you have to do. The Bible doesn't teach that. You got to actually do it. And then it goes on to say, it's like somebody looked at themselves in the mirror, walked away, and they forgot what they looked like. But the person that looks and continues in it, verse 25, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Let's look at it in the NIV. It says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept it. Accept the word implanted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. I mean, that's pretty plain. Don't listen to it. Just merely listen to it. Do what it says. You know, knowledge, the Bible says in another place, knowledge puffs up, makes arrogant. You hear stuff, you can think you know. I hear it. Maybe I can quote it. I've heard a lot of stuff. That's not the same as doing it. Book knowledge does not equal being able to do. The amount of knowledge we know about something, surrounding something, does not translate into actually being able to do it in any area. You know, you see this in sports all the time. There's people commentating. People could watch something, know everything about the team, know all the stats, know all the history, know when the team was founded, every trade that's ever been made, could quote everybody's stat that ever played, all the percentages in all the areas, every coach that's ever coached in all the positions, know who their record against every team, and not be able to get on the field and play at all. And could think they know something and be like, yeah, but yeah. And some of the player could come off and they could ask them a question and be like, what's this and this? And they're like, I don't know. You don't know anything? Yeah, but why don't you come out in the field with me and we'll show you how it's done. You can't play. But you can get arrogant thinking, somebody could think, well, I know. Bible clearly says that's not it. Do you do? You know, it's not about how you're dressed either. Like, people have, you could have, like, in, you know, World Cups on, most of those people, I dare say, that are the best in the world, a lot of them, they didn't come from real, some of them did, you know, they were very early age, probably had all the best equipment, but you know, there are people that grew up nowhere. They were going barefoot. They're not even using a real ball. They're just using something that's cobbled together. They're just playing on the ground, and yet they can play. And you have people that have $300 pair of shoes from the time they're five. I don't know if they sell $300 for a five-year-old, but they're expensive for older people. But the best shoes money could buy, you know, their mommy, daddy thinks they're going to be in the World Cup, and they never go anywhere. Your outfit doesn't make any difference. It's kind of the same thing, right? It doesn't matter. What matters? Like, well, can you play? I don't care what you're dressed with. A lot of that's marketing. I mean, some of it's real. You know, what you want, what the equipment is, but a lot of it is, I'll pay you $3 million to tell everybody you use this. Okay, sounds good to me. But let's read it in the NIV again. Let's go back to verse 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. In other words, I think I'm something because I heard it. I heard that. I can quote that. I've heard 15 messages on that. See, it doesn't matter. You know, we said all that. It doesn't matter what somebody else is doing. It's, is this in our life? Like, is there a place where I'm thinking, yeah, I heard that, but then we look and wait, I'm not doing it. That might not answer a question. Why ain't it working? If I deceive myself, am I thinking because I heard it, it should just work? That's like watching a training video on a sport and going and go, why can't I do it? Well, I got to go practice what I just saw. That takes effort. Verse 22, let's go to verse 23. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. That's why we, you know, a lot of times we'll pray when we're praying. We don't just pray to pray. We're praying for this session here. You can't pray for every time we're going to preach. Why don't you just pray once and never? No, we're the people that are here, we're agreeing. And one of the things sometimes we'll pray is, Lord, as the word comes forth, I purpose in my heart to be a doer of the word that I'm about to hear. What's going on now? Because if I do it, the word says I'll be blessed. If I just hear it and go, that was a good sermon, then leave and don't do it, it doesn't actually change our life. So it's doing it, it's hearing the word, doing it, that's what gets us to the next place. That's what, then we won't, when things come against us, we're actually going to be able to stand because we've been doing it. So that's a process then, we're getting the word in us. We got to hear it, we got to do it. So we got to look at the word of God in order for it to become real to us to act on it. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law, or we would say that the word of God, because we don't just have the book of the law, we have the whole word of God, but we could paraphrase and say, the word of God shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it, go over it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. For then, what? When you observe to do, you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So the word of God is not departing. It's, in other words, I'm looking at it, I'm meditating on it, I'm thinking about it so that I can do it, so I can have good success. Psalm 1, verse 1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. You could say in the word of the Lord, the word of God, and in his law, or in his word, he meditates day and night. He, Notice it's talking about planting. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Does that sound different than that second category we're talking about, the sower? That did wither because it heard the word. As soon as stuff came against it, it withered. But here it says, if you're delighting in the word of God, if you're meditating on it, it's like a plant, a tree planted by the rivers of water, put up verse 3 again, that brings forth fruit in its season. So this is well on the way to that fourth category. Got to hear the word. Do it. We're going to do it. Then we're inserting here. Not going to get sidetracked by that category 3, all this stuff distracting. Going to do it. Going to do it right through that. But we're going to get there. Not today. And then we're going to bear fruit. But if you don't get here, if we think we're going to hear, great. I got it. I am listening to 3 sermons a day, every day. That's how I'm going to grow. Now, that will help because you're meditating on the word. But if I go out and go, but I don't actually want to apply change, then we are going to fall in that category. We're going to be like, that is so awesome. I heard the truth. This, I've wanted this truth. I see it. I do it. And then we bump up against a challenge that's contradicting what we know is true, but it's pushing it, trying to make us release. If we're like, yeah, but I thought the word, but I'm getting pushed. That's like the house. The rain's falling. The wind's beating our house. Am I going to do the word or am I going to let go of it? If I do it, I stand through that and I make it to the other side. If I go, oh, I'm not going to do it, I let go, house falls. So we want the word in us. That's the answer. That's how it's going to get past. Now look at, we're going to skip down to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Somebody could say, well, how can you get there? I mean, then you have to have so much in you before you can even stand. No. Wherever you are, do the word that you know, that you've heard. You don't need more if you haven't done what you know. Do what you know. And here's something that is in place, what we're about to read, that's just the way it works in the earth. Verse 12, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common. Everybody say common. Common to man. See, sometimes we go, oh man, my situation is just so hard. You know what happens then? That can lead us to think, well, I can't overcome this. Now, other people can do that. They're what they're dealing with, but mine's special. Well, then what's that kind of saying is that it doesn't apply in my area. Nope, it's common. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful. That means he's constant, that he will never fail, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, people misquote this. This does not say God never gives you more than you can handle. That's not what that says. We'll read it again. That's not what the, because that's making it like God's just doing everything. He'll give you something, but you can get out. What it does say, it says, verse 13, God is faithful who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, if there's a temptation, it says there will also make a way of escape that you will be able to bear it. In other words, if there's something in front of you, there's a way out. Always. See, it doesn't matter what level you're at. God will not allow it to be more than you can. It's not going to take you out if you trust him. It just said it. You will not have more than you're able to bear. It's not that God's giving you a temptation. He has just said, no, that's not going to happen. That means anything that hits us in the earth, we can overcome. Anything. And as you grow, stuff might happen. Again, God's not orchestrating it. He just said, You know, it's like a 3-year-old versus a 15-year-old. It's like, no, the 3-year-old, not dealing with that. 15-year-old, you can handle it. Buck up. You can do it. It's not that God's doing it. It's like, you know, dealing with your child. They're like, I just can't at school or whatever. And you say, you can do it. I know you can. Now, if they can't, you, at that point, you're like, no, you're right. And you do something. You would intervene or whatever. But if they can and you come in, no, it's like, no, you've got this. Again, God's not orchestrating. That's not a perfect analogy. But all the time, so as we grow, there's never a time it's like, if I just knew more word. No, do the word that you know. Always be looking, and yes, you want to hear more. Yes, but here it doesn't make any sense. It's not helpful to just fill up on word without using it. You just, like, if you do that with food, you just get fat, right? But if you're using it, you know, like years ago, and I saw when the Olympics are on, certain swimmer, they're talking about his diet, and I'm sure this is common with all the swimmers or anybody that puts out a lot of calories, but it's ridiculous how much what they were doing. I mean, they were eating like, this dude was eating like 8,000 calories a day. He could just down a whole pizza. It didn't matter because he's expending so much energy. Yeah, he's putting into categories and trying to get the right food groups, but literally could down a whole pizza, down this. It's just because he's gonna use it. But if he stops swimming, you're down in 8,000 calories. Number one, that's probably pretty hard if you're not using it because it's just sitting. It's not the same result. He's not going to look like that ripped dude that's winning all these gold medals. He's going to look different. So we're like, I need word. I need word. I got to hear. At some point, we got to like do something with it. And what does that do? Builds muscle. So what you start, it's one thing to get faith. You get faith by the word of God. You know how your faith grows? By hearing the word of God, but by doing something with it. Like, all right, this is the pressure. I just can't. Well, you're just going to stay there. If you're like, no, God's word, it works. I believe it right now. And the pressure's coming, the wind's blowing, your hair's whipping. And you're like, no, the word of God's true. What's that doing? You're building muscle. You're building faith. You get through that. You're like, it is true. What does that do? Next time it pushes? Oh, no, we're staying. I'm not moving. But if I go, I hear, and then the stuff pushes, and I'm like, just wilts. No fruit. What do I want? I want to get to the other side. It's like, oh, there's some fruit. I got through it. Now what do you have? You have a testimony. You made it through. You saw God faithful. But he, even though he's faithful, if we won't take it and do it, he's like, would you do the work? Do it. I said, do it. That's how the rock, your house is on the rock. If you do it, no, don't. Sand, fall. So he said to do it. He said to be doers of it. And he said he would help us do it. John 8:31 says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed them, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You abide in his word, you shall know it. Here's the thing. We know what we do. Let me say that a different way. Not that I know what I'm doing. I actually know what I put into practice. If I say I know something, but I don't actually do it, I don't fully know it. I think I know it. It's like, you know, when this is just way back in the day, when I was taking driver's ed, there was part of it where we were in a portable, you know, they have these portable classrooms. I don't know if they do it around here at all, where if they need more capacity, they will literally bring in these separate buildings that they bring in on a trailer, put it down, and you go into a separate little building and they have an extra classroom. We had schools, at least in the Midwest, I don't know if they do it out here, where they don't add it to the physical building, then they can take them out when they don't need it. And it's Well, I was taking drivers then, and it was in this portable, and we were watching film, actual film, the thing that like goes around, and you know, when it gets done, it goes, probably don't know what I'm talking about, but that's all right. It wasn't on a screen, it wasn't on a digital device, wasn't even a VCR. Projector, like a movie, with analog like film. We're watching it, and we have these devices, like we got a steering wheel, and we got gas pedal and stuff at our seat. And then we're watching what's going on, the old car, and we're watching the, you know, supposed to be us driving, and like somebody will start pulling out front of you. If you don't push on the brake, then you get like penalized. It's like trying to train you. It's very old school. I don't even say how many years ago that was, but it's a long time ago. Well, you can kind of think, I know how to drive. And I've never even been in a real vehicle. I'm watching a film with a steering wheel and like, yeah, I know if the guy pulls out in front of me, I push the brake. I put on my signal at the right time. Do it, put on the gas, brake, whatever. How many of you know that's different than driving a real car? It's different than driving a real car. There's the physics involved and all that stuff. And if you think, well, I know. I remember. Sorry to say. My mom was like talking to me. I'm like, I've done all this simulation. I know, Mom. That's like stupid. She's tried to help me drive. No, we know what we do. We know. Have you ever said, oh, I knew it. Yeah, but you didn't know it good enough to, or well enough to avoid what you just did. I knew better, sort of. Except it wasn't good enough to know. But then you do that, you're like, okay, now I know. And you change. You're like, I'm not doing that. I go around it. That's the process. So as we put in the word, we do it, we get strong, we go to the next word. That's how, that's where there's you bear 30, 60, 100. Well, you bear fruit. You bear fruit in this area, bear fruit in this area. That's how you're bearing fruit. It's by going through this process. But you got to make it past phase two. The temptation can take you out later, but if you can't even do what the word says, you don't even get there. That's level three. Amen? And God will always help us to do it. Don't ever, see, just chuck this from your mind. Don't ever go, I just can't do it. My stuff is too hard, or this is too much, or I just need more. No, do what we know to do now. Am I applying, it's a humbling question. Am I applying what I know today? It's every one of us, I would say, we're not 100%. There's stuff we know that we could be doing. Well, that's not to condemn any of us. That's just facts. That's just where we're at. So when I'm like, I need more, people think, I need to go to Bible school. If you're supposed to go to Bible school, go to Bible school. They're like, I need to go to Bible school so I can get my life straight. No, probably usually you need, because Bible school is going to be just as challenging. You need to do the word that you know. And then if God in that tells you to go to Bible school, fine, but that's not a fix-all. You're gonna get a truckload of information, but you can only keep doing so much. That's the key. Do the word, and God's word works. Praise God.